Hallelujah. The Lord was very busy last night talking, bringing revelation. I trust you heard revelation last night for your own lives, and God was speaking to you. I just want to talk to you like a friend for a minute. When you're in a meeting like this, which, and I found out you have them, usually a speaker coming in several times a year, that's because God is sending a gift to you. Because what they carry is imparted by the Spirit to you. And those who are wise, Matthew 25, five of you wise, five foolish, not in this room. This is the wise group. That word wise literally means to rein in, like a horse, rein it in, or curb your mind. Ooh, can you curb your thoughts? Oh, yeah. Your will? Can you curb your will? Have you ever been out of control in your will? Oh, yeah. And your emotions. Those three things are necessary for wisdom, for the wise. And while I was in this place of dialogue with the Lord, which he does periodically, all night, I tell you what, he is releasing amazing, amazing revelation. And I want you to catch yours. Yours will be different than mine. I praise God that he speaks to his people. My sheep hear my voice. That means you must be sheep, not lambs. That indicates maturity, right? So, we are talking to a room full of wonderful queens in the kingdom. Think of yourself, queen in the kingdom. I love that God sees you as a queen. I love that he's chosen you. Do you know what that means to be chosen? Set apart? It means you've come into a place where the eyes of the Lord look upon you with favor. Now, the eyes of the Lord, that's both wonderful and terrible. I mean, you know, the eyes of the Lord look at the mountains and the mountains melt like wax. As his eyes, there's something about his eyes that melt you. It makes your legs tremble and you have trouble standing. That's why every knee will bow. People will not be able to proudly stand in his presence. Every knee will bow. But we get to bow now. We get to be in that place of being chosen. And one of the things God has been speaking to me about a lot has to do with being chosen. But you know, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be as the days of the Son of Man. And I believe we are in that day. We're in that day where things are dark all around us. And yet God's ark of deliverance is readily available to every single blood-bought believing child of God. You don't have to be a prophet, but you do need to prophesy. You don't have to be an evangelist, but you really need to save souls. You don't have to be a preacher, but you do need to share the word of God. You don't have to be an apostle, but you do need to set some things in order in your life and circumstances. There is an amazing blessing that falls upon God's people as they believe him. You don't have to be a teacher on television, but you can teach the word of God and teach just by your lifestyle. Just your presence changes an atmosphere. You carry something so holy and so precious to God, And being a woman is a gift. Don't let anyone put you down. Like, if you look at the global situation, women have been downtrodden for years. I would say for a majority of the existence of planet Earth. Because a lot of, and I believe this is an erroneous teaching, there's a teaching out there that, well, it was the woman who fell first. She gave the apple, and it wasn't an apple, by the way, it was a fruit, gave it to Adam, and he ate. But the scripture is very clear. Eve was deceived by the snake. Adam was not deceived. He chose to willfully bite into that apple and ushered us into the situation we're in now. However, there's no condemnation. I'm sure he's in heaven with Jesus. I've long ago gotten over being angry with him. I'd like to read you some scripture today because of what God was speaking to me during the night. Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1? We are going to start with verse 18. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are believing, who? It is the power of God to those of us who are being saved. Now listen to how this is phrased. Now this is the New King James. To those of us who are being saved. You know, that's an active verb, which tells you it's not past tense. Like I was saved when I was 7, so that's when I accepted Christ. But I am now 75, and I am being saved. So this morning, in the middle of this wonderful revelation God was speaking to me about with wisdom, God showed me, brought me a correction. Well, it wasn't really a correction. He added to my understanding and expanded it, an area that I had no idea was in me. I didn't know my perception was looking a certain way. Until he brought that revelation this morning. So I am still being saved, being changed and conformed to the image of Christ. But that's the power of God, the cross, working in us daily. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. I don't get frustrated by the intelligentsia who looks down on ordinary people that think they're above, you know, they're in ivory towers, you know, they're running the big corporations, they've got the big bucks, they're making the big decisions, and we, well, what were we being called? Well, what's that word? Yes. Deep. What was it?
Deplorable.
Welcome, deplorables. We are queens on the earth. Queens in the eyes of our God. And those of the earth, those intelligent, brilliant, wise, clever people, listen, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. And did you know that the word says that God will unveil or reveal his manifold wisdom in the heavenly places through the church, through the saved deplorables? He's going to reveal his wisdom in heavenly places. That means, ladies, we belong in heavenly places. That's where we wage our warfare. Listen, there, I want you to have a little hot spot in your belly. A little fire. Come on. There is nothing we can, oh, dear Lord. There is nothing we cannot do in Christ. There is nothing he will withhold from us. No good thing will he withhold from us. And for those of you who have the guts to press in, to push beyond polite Christianity into fiery faith. There is nothing you cannot do. I told the Lord, when I received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, totally changed me. They should have locked me up for a year. Because I was a sweet Salvation Army girl. You know, I played in the band. I marched in the parade. I had my uniform. I visited in prisons, hospitals. I Thanksgiving delivered baskets, you know, all the Salvation Army things. I love the Salvation Army. You'll have to apologize. I'm feeling the presence of God so strong, I'm having trouble standing. Jesus, if you want me to finish this message, God's power is here to change you. His power is here to fire you up. His fire is going to fall upon you. You are not supposed to be a defeated woman. You are called to be Wonder Woman. You are called to mount up with the power of God in your hand. You are supposed to mount up with fire in your feet. You're to mount up with the word of power in your mouth that will change things, and suddenly strongholds will crumble. How dare... When David was called, he was tending sheep, his father's sheep. He was called by God to face Goliath. And this young lad said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would dare to defy the armies of the living God?" I say that to you now. Who is that wise, clever giant who dares call God's people deplorables and tends to say you're weak and base and ignoble and have no standing and no footing? You are a part of the army of the living God, and we are conquering on every hand. Disease must flee, and I'll tell you what, the Spirit of God in you will empower the word of the Lord for that which you personally face. Who? I believe that with everything in me. Wow. God has done a miracle. He is revealing his wisdom through you. His manifold wisdom. That means it's not just one kind of wisdom. That means those of you who are intercessors, you have an intercessory ability to see things that are wrong so you can write it in prayer. You can stand on the wall. Those of you who are evangelists, you are called to see the lost, their deplorable situation. Weep over them and begin to intercede and go after them. Those of you who are shepherds, your heart breaks over the human trafficking and over the young girls who are lost. And you want desperately for them to come to Christ. And you do your best to shepherd and love them. Those of you who are teachers, sometimes you can be obnoxious. Come on. Don't hit people over the head with the Bible. Especially your family. You are not called to do that. You're called to mother them. Pastors is especially important for those who are prophets. You are not called to be your daughter's prophet. You're called to be your daughter's mother. You are called to mother her. God will use you to be a prophet to different ones. But God will send someone else in that can be a prophet to that daughter when she needs it. That son. You pray in that prophet. And pray in the right one. There are a lot of fake ones out there. That's just a mother's advice. I better get back to the word or I'll never finish my message. I haven't even started it yet, actually. Whew. Verse 20, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Oh, I can't let this one go by. Have you noticed how argumentative everyone is today? You know, my son just went back to college. He lost his job, and so he's finishing his degree. And he learned something in his English class. They taught him to take a thesis or to listen to someone's stance on TV and to take the words of that person and reorganize it to say the exact opposite. So they'll quote sections of what that person said, but then they'll expand it or they'll open it up and make it say the exact opposite. They're training them to have fake news, how fake news works. And then they're teaching them to debate, a style of communication that's called debating. That means you have to win and someone has to lose. So when you're communicating, that debater stance rises and they're going to win. This was especially evident in our last election when some of the millennials began, Christian millennials, began to speak up. And I could hear the debate in them. I could hear the challenge. And these are kids I've known since they were little. And all of a sudden, they're going for broke. They're going to win the prize. Their opinion is going to get across, and they're going to win. And I simply said to this one precious young man, I'm not going to debate you. I will communicate. And I won't do it on social media. We have to look eyeball to eyeball because you are not listening to me. You are trying to win. It's a different style. And here's a scripture. Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God. The world cannot know God without a revelation from Jesus Christ. God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Jews ask for a sign. Greeks ask for wisdom. But we preach Christ Jesus crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Gentiles foolishness. But to those of us who are called both Jews and Greek, Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. I used to work for the Alaska Supreme Court when Honorable Justice, Chief Justice Boney was on the bench. My employer was the Honorable Roger Connor. Great guy, brilliant. He was one of these genius kind of guys where his communication went over your head. And I'm his executive assistant, his secretary, his Jill of all trades, keeping him organized because he wasn't an organized soul. And I used to have to put on the wine and cheese parties for all the justices when they got together in Anchorage. Because Alaska is so big. One of the Supreme Court justices lived in Fairbanks, one lived in Juneau, one lived in Anchorage. So every few months they would meet together in Anchorage, then Juneau, and then Fairbanks. So when they met in Anchorage, my assignment was to put on these wine and cheese parties. So and all of the law clerks from the universities that won a seat on the Supreme Court with one of the justices would be there also. So I'd be pouring this wine and telling them about how Jesus multiplied the wine. Just excited. Or one night, evening, I was pouring the wine and telling them about how God healed my girlfriend. So finally, one of the law clerks spoke up and he said, Mary, do you mean to tell me that you believe that if I don't receive Jesus as my Savior, that I'm going to hell? And I thought to myself, Father, how do I break the news to him? And I simply said, yes. And he said, I can't believe it. And yet, a brilliant, intelligent woman, and you believe that kind of foolishness? Listen, we preached Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, the chosen, the blood-bought deplorables, that's us. The wonder women of the kingdom. Ooh, I love that. It is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because, listen to this, the foolishness of God, this young, intelligent law clerk on his way to becoming a full-fledged attorney and a justice at the court, his wisdom was so controlling in his life that he literally was blind and didn't know it. But God had me send one word to him. Yes. And I know the Holy Ghost. See, it's not my job to convict him. That belongs to the Holy Ghost. Quit trying to convict people of their sin. They already know they're sinners. Let the Holy Ghost do that part. That one word was a hook in his heart. And I know that the Holy Spirit got in there so he could start working on the heart of that young man and do what I could not do. I thank the Lord frequently for his salvation. I'm thankful I got to meet this precious, honorable man of integrity, and that he was willing to ask me a question. Because many people won't ask, they just write you off. Always look for the ones that ask. Always be open to look for the ones that want to ask you the questions, where the Spirit of God is working. And listen, I want to encourage you. Remember your gift. Do you know what your gift is? Some of you are intercessors. Some of you are evangelists. Some of you are shepherds. You're always bringing in these lost strays. Some of you are pastors. And some of you just can't help but teach. You need a platform because sometimes you're teaching, you're preaching to the choir. But come on, God will give you a platform to exercise your gift. Use wisdom. Yours is not the only gift. Yours is one of many. And you don't have to overwhelm them with your powerful presence. Just love them where they're at. Love is a real key in the kingdom. I went to the bank to make a deposit. And I was kind of in a hurry. There were a lot of people in the bank. And I finally got up to the teller and I handed my deposit slip to her. And her lip started to tremble. And pretty soon she started telling me about her boyfriend had just broken up with her. And then pretty soon she's weeping. And then she's getting louder and louder. I don't know this lady. I'm trying to make a deposit. I haven't said anything to her. I pushed my little deposit slip across the table to her and she fell apart. And it wasn't a big deposit. This precious lady, you know what was happening? What is he called? The Holy Spirit was doing his job. What was I supposed to do? I took her hand and I began to pat her hand. I didn't say anything. I didn't whip out the Bible and hit her over the head with it. God was already working. She needed an infusion of the Holy Ghost love. Someone, a mom, who would hold her hand and let her compose herself, because she's in the business setting. And I know she was horrified that she lost control. Yeah. So I'm not going to expose her, but I'm going to help her regain her control. And then I just whispered, he's going to make it okay. I didn't say who the he was. He was already stirring in her heart. Be subtle. You know, we don't have to go stomping in like an elephant, shaking the place. You're a loving soul anyway. Praise God. So, man, Holy Ghost, I promise I'll get to the end. Listen, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. It's the smallest action in conjunction with the Holy Ghost that will make a lifelong change in someone's life. I was at a meeting in Saskatchewan, Canada, and it just was a meeting where the power of God poured out, and we probably had 700 people in the room, when all of a sudden, over in the corner, and this is in Cree country, you know, the Cree Native American, or actually Native Canadian, Aborigines, they call it in Canada. I saw a group of them over here, and I was just giving an altar call, and 50 Mennonite kids came running forward to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because God was dealing with them. And they were getting the gold flakes, and they're shaking, and it was really, really a powerful move of God. But I watched this group of quiet Cree grandmas in the corner. There were maybe 8 or 9 of them, and there were 4 bad boys of the reservation there, right in the middle. And these were grandmothers who brought their grandsons, not saved, and they were the bad boys of the reservation. And these grandmas dragged them to this meeting. And they're sweet. I love people. These grandmas raised their chubby little hands, and I could see them raising their hand. All 4 of the boys came forward to receive Christ. And here the grandmas leap to their feet, and I'm watching them in the corner. They're weeping, they're raising their hands, and they're shaking, and they're trying to worship quietly in the midst of everything going on. The Holy Ghost was moving. These boys came forward, but there were 50 other kids who'd come forward also. But I knew these boys needed salvation, not just the baptism in the Spirit. So I had a pastor, had him come forward, gave him an assignment, because a shepherd has to watch over the new sheep, because I'm leaving. You know, I can't shepherd them, but I could take them on that next step of the journey. Add your step to the journey. Make sure it's enticing. Make sure it woos people to Jesus. I see so many and hear so many of our precious Christian brothers and sisters who are actually hateful. They say mean things. And I think, Father, why did they tell someone they were a Christian? Because they make us look so bad. And you know, then we bear the brunt of it. Be sweet. Let the sweet savor of the King come out of your life, so that when you go to the bank and conviction falls on that teller, and all you do is take hold of their hand and say, it's going to be okay, honey. I was ministering in Washington, D.C., in an inner city, very, very dangerous situation. The police did not want us to go in. There had been murders, 4 murders in that particular inner city neighborhood. But I had brought in the intercultural committee with me, and we're putting on a we're giving away prizes, we're witnessing. It was an evangelistic thrust, and we had multicultural women from across the U.S. And, you know, some of them are painting clown faces, and some of them are blowing up balloons, and there was this demonized man come out. Now, we're in, there are these high apartment buildings, and we're right in the inner courtyard. And the police had sent in a team that they knew that worked in that area. And I realized that they were our bodyguards, Christian men. They weren't a part of what we were doing, but they were there to watch us and make sure we're safe, which we didn't ask for that, but boy, the police knew what they were doing because we were just foolish women from across the U.S. stepping out to share the love of Christ. So all of a sudden, we heard a ruckus, and people were watching outside the windows all the way up, watching. And sure enough, here came this large man with a club. He was banging it on the ground. "Why are you here? You don't belong here. This is my territory." Who was speaking? Yeah, it was a demon. And that was his territory. He had authority there. That's why all these people were watching from the windows, because they wanted to see if we were going to get killed. You know, they knew not to come out because it was dangerous. This man ruled that area. So here came this young, well, he looked young to me, but almost everybody looks young to me. So he was probably in his mid-40s, I'd say. Not very tall, you know, dressed like a guy from the hood. He was a pastor. And he got out and he sauntered up to this guy, just slowly. His hands were in his pocket. And then he took his hands out and he showed his hands like this. He was letting the guy know he didn't have a weapon and that he was not there to fight. Then he leaned over and began to whisper. In the meantime, my little team, there were about 20 of us, they're totally ignorant of what's going on. They're blowing up their balloons, they're painting, and they're singing Little Jesus Loves Me songs to the kids. And I'm thinking, where are the intercessors? Get up here. Because I discerned that spirit. I knew it was a dangerous situation. So this young pastor leaned forward, whispered, and I am shundalying for all I'm worth, praying and watching and praying in the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, this man threw his club down and that violence lifted off that whole courtyard and he turned and walked away. Then all these people started coming out of the buildings because now it was safe. You carry a power in you that the whisper of the name of Jesus will thunder in the realm of the spirit. And this man didn't stir up or agitate or give in to what the enemy was trying to stir up and agitate. Be peacemakers. Let your presence bring peace into your spirit, into your family, into your church, into your workplace, into your school settings, into your city, into your bank, into your grocery store. It spreads. God is using you powerfully. That's the foolishness of God that is greater than the wisdom of men. I love it. And I love that I could see it. I'm going to encourage you today. I'm giving you an assignment. I'm going to encourage you to ask God for greater discernment so you can discern what God is doing, not what the devil is doing. We're really good at recognizing what the devil is doing. But we need to see what God is doing in a situation and bring attention and light on what God is doing. This nation is being torn apart from the inside out. That's not a bad thing. When there is a crisis, and when there is that tussle going on between dark and light, God is powerfully working to release His strategy and His ways. And I'll tell you right now, we labor in the realm of the Spirit. We do not wage warfare like people in the world, because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. You can't get mad. Oh, that hit home with some of you. I understand. I had to overcome my initial response of anger. I have a thing about justice. injustice just ticks me off. Used to do more than that when I was younger. But God was training me to rein in and curb my fleshly response so I would see what God was doing and begin to cooperate with God. But I want to tell you something. God's ways to the human flesh looks weak. It feels weak. Forgiving someone, that feels weak. It's like you're condoning what they did. No, it's not. There's power. God's power works in ways that is not according to the flesh. I've noticed in the kingdom that God has, there are a lot of dichotomies. That means opposites. You rise by lowering. You become the first by being the last. You become the greatest by being the least. You hear what I'm saying? God uses our weakness, the frailty of our human flesh, to release the power of God. After we left that particular area where we were ministering, after we'd given away all the prizes, and we went to a women's shelter to minister to the women, and we had we were doing makeup, and we were passing out presents, and we were passing out cake, and I was in charge of passing out the cake, and they took me off the nail display after I... I handled the cake better. I was demoted, even though I was in charge of the group. And so I'm passing out the cake, and I bent down to this lady, and her face had been so badly beaten. It was swollen, and one eye was closed, shut, and bruised all over. And I looked at her, and this pain hit my heart. And she smiled and she was thanking me for a piece of cake. And I went to my room and I said, "Oh God, she's desperate and I'm giving her cake. She needed so much more." And God reminded me the weakness that seems weak in the eyes of man releases the power of God, because something was imparted to her when I smiled. I actually reached out and gently touched her face and then handed her the cake. That will never leave her. And when she's in despair, she'll remember, "Oh yeah, those ladies, those weird ladies that were passing out cake. Oh, you know how God will hook." When I was in college, I had a roommate, Teddy, who was, she was a full Sioux Indian, and she was kind of had a rough upbringing. And years after we had, I'd moved back to Alaska, she'd gone back to Pine Ridge Reservation. She called me, and she said, it was maybe 10 years later, and she said, "Mary, I wanted to tell you something. I was in such a pit of despair and hopelessness and discouragement, and I decided I was going to kill myself. And as I was trying to figure out how to do it, I suddenly had a picture of when we were in college and you were kneeling by your bed praying." Ladies, I have to confess, I don't remember kneeling by my bed praying. I just don't remember that. I remember dancing. She remembered seeing me kneeling by that bed, and it caused her to seek after God. But about 10, 15 years later, it saved her life. That little act that seems weak is what will anchor someone until they are able to yield to the Spirit of God. We think, or there was a season in the church where we were taught, because I went to a word church, to give them the scriptures, 3, 4, 5, 10 scriptures, and the four spiritual laws, I could not keep things straight. So, I'd fumble around. And the first time I ever led one of my adult friends to Christ, I made a mess of it. I didn't know what I was doing. She was going through a divorce. She was sobbing. I was sobbing. She was sobbing because she was broken. I was sobbing because I didn't know what to do. And I put my head in her lap. I was a mess. I sobbed and sobbed. She needed to comfort me. But I stumbled my way through a prayer leading her to Christ. I didn't do the four spiritual laws because I could never remember them. And I had the steps to salvation taped in my Bible, but I didn't have my Bible with me. So all I did was weep and tell her how wonderful my friend Jesus was. The weakness and frailty of our human flesh is all he needs. He will use that. Don't try to overwhelm them with your superior knowledge. Be yourself. And listen, have fun. If it's not fun, why do it? Hear that, young ladies? That doesn't mean the wrong kind of fun. Just cautioning you. Oh, listen, consider your calling. Listen, consider your calling. He's saying, pay attention to how you're called. I'm a prophet. I prophesy. But if I go up to someone in the grocery store and say, thus saith the Lord, they'll run out of the store screaming. Let God soften so that it's the Spirit of God speaking and not your gift punching. Quote, I believe God's calling us to wisdom in the gifts that God's put in us because we are women of integrity. Know the power of God that's in you. The word of the Lord says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you know what that word greater means? It means older. The older one is in you. Nobody is older than our Father. Nobody. And in our tribes, the elders are highly respected and really, really honored. It's actually a blessing that I finally got older. So that, it's amazing. I was shocked when I went to a potlatch that my family was having for my grandmother, and my sisters were serving me. I was so shocked, and I realized they think I'm older. God is older. He's wiser. He's bigger. He's stronger. Be a woman of integrity in the hands of your God. Oh, listen. Not many wise, according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. Listen, that not many noble is an interesting phrase. Those are the deplorables. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Of course he has. Of course, that's why I'm here. You know, I'm in Lebanon, Missouri. Why in the world is a Haida, German, Danish, French girl from a fishing village in Alaska preaching her little heart out in Lebanon? Why? I'm one of those foolish things. God needed to send in some wisdom, so he looked around for someone foolish and he chose me. Yay! I'm God's deplorable. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the wise, the things that are strong, rather, and the base things of the world and the despised. God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify, render entirely useless things that are not, or excuse me, things that are. The base things means without family, without a family line, or a bastard, or having no honorable lineage. Those are the kind of people God chooses. I mean, I used to think, Father, why was I born into this family? Why, you know, why couldn't I have been in middle-class America, Lebanon, Missouri? Why was I born where I was born? And God reminded me, base things, God chooses. Now, I want to throw out something here. When you've been chosen by God, when God has called you out of darkness into the kingdom of light, and when he has filled you to where the greater one is on the inside, the older one is on the inside of you, you literally cannot fail. And his eye is upon you for good. He has blessings for you. Yes, he will train you. Don't despise the training. Don't despise the things of God. Don't despise prophesying. Test all things, yes. But I want to tell you God's way of testing. You know that scripture in 1 Thessalonians that says, test all things, prove all things? It also speaks of despise not prophesying. That word test in that scripture means to look for that which is good. And God showed me that the devil always looks for that which is bad. He always points out your fault, where you're wrong in your doctrine, where you failed, where when I led my friend to Christ, oh yeah, you sobbed right into her skirt. You got your snot all over her skirt. Yeah, you did a good job. Can you hear the enemy's voice? And God just sent a kiss because I now had a sister born into the kingdom. Listen, God chooses us, frail human beings, and he fills us with an unusual wisdom that confounds the world. The world cannot understand it. The most brilliant man on the earth cannot understand it. In fact, I listened to an interview with a man from France, a scientist from France, who had an extremely high IQ, and they asked him about the origins of life. And so he began to pontificate about these aliens that flew by, and they seeded the earth with these pods. And I'm thinking, this guy is brilliant. But this is the best he can do? The youngest Christian has more knowledge than that. Always remember who you belong to. You don't have to prove yourself to anybody. You just need to allow God to change you. Some of you need to change. You need to relax. Take a deep breath and relax. Cool your jets. Because I have been through that do's and don'ts religiosity and performance-oriented Christianity. It's not fun. I lost a lot of joy and wasted a lot of years wallowing around in my frail humanity until I found out God loved my humanity. I thought he hated it. When he created Adam and Eve, fully human, what did he say? It's good. It's very good. And I know when Adam saw Eve, he agreed. Yeah, it's very good. Listen. We please God, even in our weakness. So use your gift in a way that glorifies him. And you will find joy increasing. There's a supernatural joy in the kingdom. God wants you to be who you are. I don't know, how many of you watch The Voice show? My favorite show. Do you know there's a girl on there that is, she was 13 when she started out. She sounds like Janis Joplin. She's gangly, knobby-kneed, totally geeky looking, long straight hair, thin, and she looks totally frail. And she got up to the mic and she began to wail out this song, threw her head around, and began to rock like Janis Joplin. And I loved her. I loved her performance. I mean, I don't particularly like that kind of music, but I loved her, boy. She was fully being who she is at 13. She was geeky, and she's going to be a rock star. And so I began to pray for her salvation, because I love that child. And you should have heard the negative comments coming from Christians. I wanted to smack them. What are you talking about? Because they were looking on the outside and judging her, testing her the way the devil does, looking for what was wrong that they could criticize, instead of looking at the heart that God loved and pray. I want you to change. I am so tired of hearing Christians badmouth one another, tear down people who disagree with them, and speak hateful words, and then they tell people they're a Christian. It just drives me bananas. I heard the interview of a billionaire, multi-billionaire, who had crashed the economies of three nations, deliberately sending thousands upon thousands, perhaps millions, into a state of poverty. And then he said, yes, he's a Christian. And I thought, oh, Jesus, why did he say that? Why? Because he had no idea what it meant to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He was using his wealth to destroy people. Don't use your gift to hurt someone else. Let your gift always be a stepping stone to lift them up higher. And when you see, when the enemy points out what is wrong, don't agree with the enemy. Begin to ask God to show you what he sees. Remember I told you about my friend in England? I think I shared it with you, where he said, "You shame me, girls." I shared that last night, didn't I? And it was because my friend and I were prophesying the destiny of people, but he always saw the sin. And so his gift, though, was a pastor to clean up the sheep. He had to see the sin, but how he dealt with it. See, God changed him because of that meeting, because he saw how God judges. God always has redemption in anything that he does. Let your gift be a redemptive gift, that you lift someone up. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. We will answer for every idle, non-working word that we speak. And there will be a lot of unlovely people that are knocking on the door of the church, knocking on your door, meeting you in your grocery store, meeting you in the restaurant, and you'll feel the tug of God, the love of Christ. Be as loving and kind. And if you can't think of something nice to say, shut up. But extend a soft hand. You'd be amazed at how many people never get touched. And they never get an accepting touch. I want you to be givers of life. You're warriors, yes, but sometimes in the church, people think if you're warriors, you have to be hard, tough. Exactly the opposite. We do not wage warfare like the world does. But the weapons of our warfare, they're strong. They're not carnal. They're not natural. But they pull down strongholds, even in a strategic level. That's who you are. I know that the altars are open to you at the end of this meeting. And I want you to know, I'll pray for you. Pastor will pray for you. Do you have a prayer team also? A designated team? You know what I do in my meeting? I just start calling out the people I know that are solid Christians but timid. I'll say, "All right, Rose, get up here. This gal needs prayer. Come on, sweetie." So who needs prayer? We're going to get someone to pray for you. I'll pray for you if no one else will. Or I'll call someone else out to pray for you. It's good to be provoked out of your comfort zone. It's good in a safe environment like this to be drawn into a place of praying for someone else. The first time I had to pray out loud in a church setting where I felt like a little grasshopper, I stumbled over my words, and then in the middle of it, I started laughing because I turned a word around. Really, I had a long way to go, girls. But I had to start somewhere. Why not here? Why not give away what's in you? Because a greater one is inside of you. You know, I hear people say all the time they don't want to pray for the sick because what if they don't get healed? What if they do? You're not the one that heals them. Jesus does. And if nothing happens, it's okay. Leave it with God. He's not finished with them. Let him do his job. So we're going to ask, who needs prayer? Okay, good. Come on. Yes. Come on, be bold. Come on, sweetie. Oh.
Okay. The Lord really gets my heart rate going. That's how I know. Otherwise, I would never know. I'm like, why is my heart rate like pounding? Okay. I'm just going to share it with everyone, but it's actually for Alicia. And you're probably like, please, I need... Okay, anyways, it's kind of for me, but I don't know. For some reason, it's speaking to Alicia. Okay, and it's not like I memorized scripture or anything, and the Lord just like guided me to this. Woo, magical. Okay, so it's from Hebrews 1:9, and I can give it to you later, but it says, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. So what he's been kind of saying to me is like, just circumstances within your family, you've just hated the wickedness. Like, you're over it. You're sick of it. You're sick of the family curses that have been, like, passed down to you. And he's wanting you to be, like, your family's water. Let me get this right. I'm not a science teacher, but if you're pouring oil into water, like, your family has been the water, but you have been anointed with oil, and your oil will flow down in their water, and oil floats, right? Okay. So even though you're in your family, like, you haven't chosen your family, but you're in that water with them, but now you've been turned into this oil, and even though you're with them, you're not mixed in with them, but you're with them, but you're floating to the top, and they can see that, and you're like infused in that, and like it's just dripping down, but it always floats to the top. So don't be scared, like, I'm stuck in this situation, like, things will start to flow, and hopefully, like, that oil can, like, spread and just infuse that water. So I'll write that down for you later. If anyone else needs that, that can be for you too.
That is an excellent, excellent word. Praise God. Wait. Come on. You know, because you carry the anointing for that word, would you sit right next to her, lay hands on her, and impart that?
That's not me. I don't know.
Yeah. Just lay hands on her.